In the Bible, the reading can be found on page 267, first chapter of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to stay in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of a husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I hope you've still got page 267 in the Bible, reading that we heard just now. This is Ruth chapter 1. So before I speak, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak through me and that we would all listen, understand, and know how to apply your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, how's life now? Well, we live in pretty depressing times, I think. Just think of recent headlines. War, crime, economic problems, inflation, strikes, natural disasters, earthquakes, floods, famine, climate change. We could go on, but that'll do, I think, for the moment. Lots of problems. What can we do about these things? How can we avoid them? Can we avoid them? Not really. And that's now. Problems now. Problems then. Problems in Ruth's time. Problems that affected everybody, including God's people. They were not immune, just as we're not immune from the problems that everyone faces. But these were really bad times. The book begins, in the days when the judges ruled, which refers back to the previous book of the Bible, and the days when the judges ruled were bad days. They were days when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. They did what they thought was wise, what they thought was right, and often with no reference at all to God. And that applied to God's people. What happened? Well, one consequence was this. What seemed like a natural disaster, a famine in the land. And that affected everybody, of course. What was the result for one family? Interestingly, a family living in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was not particularly significant at that time, but it was going to be. It was to be known as the city of David, the great king of Israel, who probably lived 100 or so years later. Much more importantly, it was to be the place where Jesus was to be born. But that was a long time later, 1,000 years or so. Back to our chapter. A Bethlehem family, Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their sons Mahlon and Chilion, gave up their life in Bethlehem and departed to a neighbouring country, Moab. If you know the geography of that area at all, Moab was to the east side of the Dead Sea, whereas Bethlehem was to the west. So it was quite a long way away. Well, so what? They departed to Moab. They departed to where they thought they could get food, presumably. Well, that might have seemed the wisest course. It seemed that the famine didn't affect Moab. But the problem was that the people of Moab didn't worship the true God, Yahweh. They worshipped idols. And that wasn't the best place for followers of the true God, to go to a land where the people worshipped idols. They hoped to start a new life in Moab, but hope turned to disaster. All three men in the family group died. The head of the family, Elimelech, and then Mahlon and Chilion, the sons, married Moabites girls, idolaters. And after a period, about 10 years apparently, Mahlon and Chilion died. So Elimelech had died, Mahlon and Chilion died, and the family now consisted of three widows. One, presumably quite elderly lady, Naomi, with no husband, no sons, just two widowed daughters-in-law who didn't share her faith. And at that time, there was no provision at all for widows, no future for them. It was the worst of times for the nation of Israel, and it was also the worst of times for this family. But things were about to change. The Lord acted. He seemed silent, but now he acted. He showed mercy to his people. Verses 6 and 7. Naomi rose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. She was going to leave Moab. Why? For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. Naomi heard about this in the land of Moab. What did she hear? That the famine in Israel had come to an end, undoubtedly. But more than that, the Lord had visited his people and given them food. What Naomi heard was not just about improvements in the economy or better weather. These things are significant. But they are secondary things, secondary causes. The important thing was that Yahweh, the God of Israel, the Lord, had acted. He had visited his people and given them food. There was no reason to stay in Moab. The sensible thing to do now seemed to be to go back to Israel. And Naomi set out, taking her daughters-in-law with her. Now, there are only two problems. The daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. They were Moabites. Surely the best thing for them was to remain in their own country, amongst their own people. People who worshipped the gods that they worshipped. And what was Naomi to do? Well, she cared lovingly for her daughters-in-law. Verse 8, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." In other words, the only hope for them was to marry again. That was generous, I think. Generous of Naomi. "Don't think only of me," she said. "Return to your people." And note her prayer. "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grants that you may find rest." She's not reluctant to give the name of her God. Yahweh, the Lord, may the Lord deal kindly with you. She points to his kindness, not just his name, but his character, his kindness and faithfulness, his covenant love. He deals kindly with people. And Naomi prays that they might find security and blessing in a new marriage. Naomi understands Yahweh as the one who cares for lonely and helpless widows in Israel and in Moab. She attempts to persuade her daughters-in-law to do what seems sensible, but they refuse. "We will return with you to your people," verse 10. Naomi is honest. Going with her to her people is not going to solve their problems. Remember the position of widows at that time? They were helpless. Naomi knew that what they needed were men to provide for them. She points them to the truth. There was no way that she could provide what her daughters needed. Note how affectionately in verse 11 she calls them daughters, not just daughters-in-law. What they needed was to remarry, to have new husbands to take the place of the ones who had died. Naomi, in fact, sees herself as the cause of her daughter's helpless position. It seemed that God had turned against her and that her daughters were suffering because of that. Verse 13, "It is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Turn back, my daughters." Orpah listened. She did what Naomi said. She kissed her and returned to her people, which meant to her gods. Ruth also listened. She came to a different decision. She clung to Naomi. For her, there was no future without her mother-in-law. "Where you go, I will go. Your people won't just be your people. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Naomi and Ruth carried on their way to Bethlehem. What do we see then? Well, Ruth was resolute in her loyalty. Naomi had to explain why, after all this time, she had returned. She's still sure that God was the Almighty One. It was He who had brought calamity upon her, and He who had brought her into this apparently hopeless position. Well, that was true. The one who she thought should have blessed her, should have protected her, should have made her fruitful, had instead taken everything away from her. And she was bitter. "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. When mermaid oaths in a hopeless position, it seems that they had no hope, but God had plans for them, and incidentally for Bethlehem. Plans that included, later on in this account, a man called Boaz. God's plans also included, in later years, King David, and even later, King Jesus. All this God knew, but Naomi and Ruth didn't. Do we have any hints of what's to come in this chapter? Well, not much, almost none, except perhaps the final sentence. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. And that harvest was to feature very largely in the rest of the story. So what do we see in Naomi? What can we learn from her? In some ways, she's a real example to us. She's absolutely loyal to God, his identity, his character. She knows that God has complete control over everything that happens, whether that's good or appears evil. And she's really concerned for her daughters, for Orpah and for Ruth. She's a real example to us. But she seems convinced at this point that God has dealt cruelly with her, and she is bitter about it. Can we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we pray that we may trust you in every circumstance, even when things appear to be going badly. May we know that you are the God in control of everything. Thank you that you have your plans for our future, for the future of your world, and that you will bring your plans to pass. May we be alert, may we see something of how you are fulfilling your plans. In Jesus' name, Amen.